Okay, so today my message is titled His Plan, His Vision. We're talking about His plan, our purpose, and that's our vision for 2020. And it's not our vision, it's God's vision. What He sees and what He has in store for us. And I pray that that is what you've been trying to plug into with God during this week of prayer, of fasting, of prayer and fasting, that you've tried to attempt to say, God, I want to know what you have in store for us so that I can walk in the direction that you have for us. What group of people do you want me to invest in? Or what group of people do you want me to be a part of so that I can maybe disciple or share or shine bright? Some of you know there's a lot of people where you go to work. There's a lot of dark conversation going on. Lord, help me to be the light in the midst of that conversation. Help me to be the light in the midst of that office or that factory. Lord, help me to glorify you. And so His plan, and that ought to be our purpose. You see, what He has in store for us is great. But if we choose to believe, and I really appreciate Thomas being obedient to the spirit of what he said, because the Father truly is speaking something to all of us. We need to listen. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. You parents, you understand this. Listen. You understand that because your children aren't listening. You're talking to them and, you know, they're glued to the TV or they're just, you know, out in La La Land. They're not listening and you got to get their attention. Maybe you snap. My mom, she would snap, you know, and so she'd try to get my attention, or she'll throw a slipper, but she'll try to get my attention. So let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 18, because when I think of a vision, God's vision, I think of this verse here, Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. You're taking notes, you can jot down Psalm 1, great psalm to memorize and to know about. Happy is he who keeps the law. That person is blessed. He's blessed or she's blessed because they meditate. They chew on God's word day and night. They think about it. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, give us a revelation of God's plan and purpose, or of God's plan and vision for our lives, so that it would be our purpose, our desire, and that we would apply what you're saying to our lives so that we'll get to where you want us to be, that we'll become the people you want us to be. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been trying to read this book. It's called The Master Plan of Evangelism, Dr. Robert E. Coleman. And a missionary gave me this book, and I thought, oh man, the missionary gave me this book. I need to read it. And so I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And again, this is about evangelism, but I want you to envision yourself as one of the disciples, because it's talking about Jesus and his discipleship with the disciples. And so Jesus expected the men he was with to obey him. They were not required to be smart, but they had to be loyal. This became the distinguishing mark by which they were known. They were called his disciples, meaning that they were learners, pupils of the master. It was not until much later that they started to be called Christians, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Although it was inevitable, for in time, obedient followers invariably take on the character of their leader. The simplicity of this approach is marvelous, if not astounding. None of the disciples were asked at first to make a statement of faith or accept a well-defined creed, although they doubtless recognized Jesus to be the Messiah. For the moment, all they were asked to do was to follow Jesus. Of course, clearly implied in their initial invitation was a call to faith in the person of Christ and obedience to his word. If this was not comprehended in the beginning, it would be perceived as they continued in the way with the master. No one will follow a person in whom he or she has no trust. Think about that. No one will follow a person in whom he or she has no trust, nor sincerely take the step of faith unless he or she is willing to obey what the leader says. And just ask yourself, or ask the Lord, Lord, how well am I being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, we're to be a learner of Christ, a pupil of Christ, a student of Christ. He is the master. And Slowly but surely, we take on the character of our master, of our teacher, don't we? Parents, you can attest to that. How do your kids answer or respond, or maybe how they chew? Maybe you're a loud chewer and your kid's loud chewer because why? Mom or dad are a loud chewer. They take on some of the traits or some of the character of the parents. You see, in order for me to arrive to a certain destination, I have to have the directions or coordinates. Now, again, when we think about vision, it says the people perish because they know not who they are, or where they need to be, or who they need to become. They have no vision. They have no idea of what they're supposed to be. So therefore, they perish. They will eventually accomplish nothing without that vision. Nothing of eternal value. If you don't have the vision that God has for you, and you're not applying yourself or living that life according to reach that goal, that final destination, if you don't see yourself where God wants you to be or who God wants you to be, you'll never accomplish that. You'll never reach it. Why? Because you don't know what it is. This is why it's important that it's not my idea, it's God's idea. What? That we read the Word. That we read what he says, that we read who he is, that we read this love letter. I'm not sure how many of you that are reading this, that you stop and think, I want to place myself in this. I'm standing right next, I'm standing right next to Noah as God is giving Noah these instructions. I'm standing right next to Abraham as God says, look at the stars. He's giving him this vision, this picture, to see all the stars, and that would actually equate in Abraham's mind, those are your descendants. He's given him this vision. God wants to give us this vision of where he wants us to go. So in order for me to arrive at a certain destination, I have to have the directions or the coordinates. Before my arrival, or like your GPS, tells you, you have arrived. When I arrive at my end, at the end of my destination, when I have arrived there, I have to see where I'm going first before I get there, don't we? Now, how many of you are really good with directions? No, only three of us. Okay, you're really good with directions. Listen, I'm not trying to be proud or anything, but if I've been there before, I'll get there again. Anybody like that? Okay, how many of you are like blind as a bat? You can be there five times and you're not even, yeah. Shannon's hand better go up because that is true. But you know what? She'll say, I just trust you. I know where you're going because I'm the one that's always driving. And so this is why our reading the Word is so important. To know who God is and what he has said. To know what we are, our identity in him. And it is so helpful if you know who you're supposed to be in him. Not in yourself, not in your intellect, not in your talent that you can make anything out of, out of anything. I have a friend, he could pick up any instrument and he can play it. I was like, oh, I mean, he's just talented. A harmonica, dude doesn't play a harmonica, but he could pick it up and he starts playing it and he play it very well. But know who we are in him. That is important. That is priority. And then when we read the Word, to know who we are to become by walking with him daily. Know who we are to become. It reminds me of a story. I'm just going to use some names. Mike and Jack. Now, Mike and Jack, they've known each other. And Mike and Jack, they haven't seen each other in a while. And so Mike says, hey, Jack, how's it going? They start talking about family and they're talking about church. And then Mike starts talking about prayer. And Jack says, hey, you don't pray. Mike says, yes, I do pray. Jack says, you know what? I bet you $10 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. And Mike says, you got it. I know the Lord's Prayer. So Jack pulls $10 in his pocket. And he says, these $10 is yours if you know the Lord's Prayer, but you can't cheat. You can't look in your Bible. Mike begins to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Jack starts laughing, kind of like y'all. He starts laughing. Gives him the $10. I didn't think you knew it. It's a joke, right? But that is so true that there are people who believe that there are certain things or certain prayers. They believe they're in the Bible, but they're not. So how do they become who God wants them to be if they don't read it, if they don't know it? How do they know what the vision is or where to accomplish the end of their destination? You have arrived. How do they know how to get there? And we all know what there is, right? Heaven. How are they supposed to know how to get to heaven if they don't know what his word says? So there are a lot of people just like that, that would probably think that that prayer is the Lord's prayer. It's not, by the way. I hope none of you just started laughing because someone next to you started laughing. You know, but that's really not the Lord's prayer. But there are so many people that will know the Lord's prayer, but yet don't apply it. Listen, the Lord's prayer was instituted not so that, I mean, I memorized that as a Catholic boy. I mean, you know, holding up the cross, walking down the aisle or picking up the little bells. And I memorized that verse because we said it every week. Every week we had to say it. But I can know that prayer and yet not apply it. We're supposed to apply it. Our Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. We're supposed to apply this, believe in it, walk in it, not just know it and memorize it. I said this on Wednesday as well. People can quote scripture and use scripture, like pull it right out of their back pocket and pull it out whenever they seem it's, you know, deemed appropriate. We're supposed to know it and walk it every day, not just whenever we feel like it. And so it's important that we know God's word, and in knowing God's word, we get to our destination. Kind of like this. I mean, if you just put slide one, please. We have to align ourselves with the word. No, that's not it. All right. We have to align ourselves with the word. If you don't know what God says about how you should live, then how are you going to get there? Anybody ever use a plumb line? You know what a plumb line is? Some people know what a plumb line is. It's a string, and it has a cool little gold, maybe yours was gold, but it has a gold little pendant on it, and it hangs by a string, and you just, you know, you're supposed to wait till it actually stops moving. And that's supposed to tell you the actual, you know, it gives you a reference for what is plumb, for what is straight vertical. Now that thing moves. If you push it, it'll move back and forth. What doesn't move? Hopefully what doesn't move is the foundation that you're building on. But that doesn't move. God's word never changes. His word never changes. And so we're supposed to align ourselves to the word of God. See, people will tell their version of how to get there, there being heaven, and who will get there, but their version is wrong. Why do I say it's wrong? I don't even know them. Pastor, why are you saying it's wrong? Because it's their version. It ought to be God's version. It ought to be God's word telling us how to get there. Everyone's answer on how to get to heaven, it better come from God's word of how to get there. Psalm 119, verse 33 through 40. Let's go there real quick. Thank you, Jesus. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. This is good scriptures to pray. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Now, the word precepts, the definition of precepts is command or principle intended especially as a general rule of action. Do you long for the Lord's precepts? Do you long for his command, his principle that you are to keep as a general rule or of action? This is what we find here in verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. You see, his word ought to be our standard. Why? Because it stays the same. It's solid and true and never changes. That's why we can stand on his word and we shall not be moved. Amen? An old song comes to my mind. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. All right, so his word is a standard. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You're writing notes in your Bible, just write Jesus right above the word Word. It's capital W, that is Jesus. He's the living Word. Verse 2, capital H, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, capital H, him being Jesus. And without him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus was from the beginning. He stays the same. God is always the same. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is even quoted by saying, I am the Alpha, the beginning and the end. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. How many of you are ready for him to come? Amen. I hope all of us in this room, if you're not, then I hope today, as it was mentioned earlier, today is the day of salvation. I hope that today that you are ready for him to come. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our daily living that is aligned with his word determines where we're going. Determines where we're going because we know what his word says. Therefore, we know what to be aligned to, aligned with his word, his truth. This is a spiritual part of our encounter with God, that we know him. You and I can't understand who he is without the Holy Spirit's help, without the Holy Spirit's revelation. And he's giving that today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, we get to see it so that we can understand it. Then the physical part happens, our decision to follow and apply. That's why I was thankful what the Spirit was leading Thomas to say. Because as God reveals his truth to you and I through the Holy Spirit, it's your decision whether you're going to choose to apply it, receive it and apply it, or you're going to reject it and remain the same. For your information, this happens every service all around the world, wherever they're having services. The Spirit speaks and people will respond. Even a no response is a response. Choose to do nothing. I'm not going to believe that. Nah, that's not. Maybe tomorrow. Nah, that's not for me, Pastor. But you've chosen to respond, and your response is, I reject it. You continue to remain the same, and that's not how it ought to be. That's not what God's desire. That's not his vision or his plan for your life. My first point was the fact that we ought to align ourselves with his word. My second point is that know who you are by his word. We get to know who I am. I'm more than just, you know, my family heritage. I'm more than just being Mexican. I'm more than just being a father. I'm more than that. His instructions begin with the basics. And then the basics was, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I find that out, that, man, I am a sinner, and I'm living this life, and it is contrary to God's law, contrary to God's word. I've lied, disobeyed my parents. I might have used some cuss words and used God's name in vain and used it along with cuss words. I see the basics, and I know where I have to start. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Mentioned this Sunday in Sunday school, the ABCs of salvation. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I confess my sin to him. And all of us hopefully have done that, where we started with the basics, but then we're able to see that there ought to be some more changes in our lives, right? Notice what Jesus says to his disciples when he first met them. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, it says, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Remember what I read in the book? He didn't tell them, sign on the dotted line with your blood. He didn't say, sign an actual contract. All he said was, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And just to kind of just show you how screwy my brain was, I was just thinking, Lord, what if they were building a house? What would you say to them? You know? But they're fishermen, so they understood what he was saying when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. I will help you to become people who catch people. And he says, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. That's all he said. They immediately left their nets and followed him, Scripture says. They didn't know at this time that their lives would be required of them. His instructions later on became more personal and more intense, didn't they? We find in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, he actually says that you got to deny yourself daily. What? Yeah, you got to sacrifice yourself. You got to tell yourself no. This last week, thankful for those of you that fasted and prayed because you told yourself no. You told yourself no. I was telling someone, I was just sharing something, just a little tidbit of what God, you know, kind of showed me that, you know, doing the Daniel fast, you can eat what? Fruits and vegetables, right? You can eat stuff. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, Ezra and Silas, they're eating pizza. Jude's eating eggs. Dunkin' Donuts sells it as a breakfast wrap, but it's a tortilla, egg, and cheese. And Jude was eating. I was like, you know, just that. And I was like, in the back of my mind, ooh, Jude's eating eggs, cheese, and tortilla. Little taco there. Ooh, that's a... But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. And I felt like I was, you know, I was needed. There was a problem. I could eat 5 plums and 10 oranges. But yet because what I could not eat, in my mind, I was registering a problem. There was a dilemma. I couldn't go over to Nana's and have some ice cream. I couldn't do that. But yet I could eat as many vegetables and fruits as I wanted. And I thought back of the Garden of Eden. I could have eaten from any of the trees. One, because of what she saw. Of course, it's his fault too, but because of what she saw, there was a desire because of what she saw, and they ate of it. They ate of it. He did first, but they ate of it. Amen? They ate of it. I just had to throw that in there, you know? It's okay. You guys agree with that, right? Okay. I hear I lost my place here. Yes, be careful. But see, Jesus gave his instructions, and even today, he requires more of you. Listen, if you think that he's only requiring of what he required of you the week that you got saved, you're wrong. You're not reading your word. You're not reading his word. He requires more of you every day. Pictures like these. Of course, I'm not sure if you got the pictures. You get them? No? Okay. That was my fault. I didn't send them to Joe. But anybody ever make cake? You know, some of you probably don't need the box, but I do. You know, Betty Crocker. There we go. Thank you, Joe. It's super moist. Anybody ever get their cake to look like that? Not me. Let me just go a step further. Anybody ever cut your cake like that and looks like that? No, not me. Don't ever ask me to cut no cake. I'll jack it up. Now, the picture on the left is a map of Jacksonville. And how many of you know Jacksonville like the back of your hand? Anybody just raise your hand. All right, Thomas. Thomas raised his hand. Thomas, if I can just ask you to just close your eyes. All right. Now, I want you to tell me how to get to Tinseltown. See, Thomas is quiet now because I have to give him from where, don't I? See, there's a place called heaven. A lot of people need to know where they're at. But know how to get there. But if I tell Thomas, from Regency Square Mall, how do you get to Tinseltown? Do you know where Tinseltown is, Thomas? No, Tinseltown would be... Anybody know where Tinseltown is? Okay. Y'all, I am never going to Jacksonville with you while you're driving because you will not be able to take me there. I can tell you, yeah, GPS, forget the phones. One time we used a phone, and it took us down, it was supposed to be a street, but it was someone's driveway. And I'm not going to say whose GPS it was. But anyway, I can close my eyes and tell you from Regency Square Mall. Now you might say, well, yeah, Pastor, you practiced this. Well, I practiced this earlier because I wasn't sure if I was going to say this morning. But I can go from Regency Square Mall. If I go down Atlantic Boulevard and I go west and I go to the second light and I turn left, which I'm going south. And that's a Southside Connector. And I take Southside Connector and I go 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 lights. Tinseltown's my left hand side because it'll say Tinseltown right in front of the movie theater where it says Tinseltown. That's how I know I got to get there. But listen, I was there, I saw it, I've been there. That's how I have that in my head. You read it, spend time with it, the Lord reveals it to you. He'll cause you to see what he wants you to see so that you know who to become, so that you know who to be. You see, it's important that we understand. I got to have the bottom part. I got to have instructions of how to, it's a bench that... Well, you could pull it out that it actually turns into a twin bed. How cool is that? For you minimalists, that is so cool, right? You tell me to make that? Nuh-uh. It will take me, I'll probably give up because it'll take more than a year for me. I need the instructions, the direct. I don't know what size nails to use or screws. I don't know. How many of you can look at that and probably know what type of wood that is? I wouldn't know. I'd get, you know, plywood. I mean, and that wouldn't be good. So that, again, the instructions, you can't get to that end result without the instructions. Now, some of you are going to be like, oh, I can get there. Well, good on you, but I can't. Some of you could probably make a cake just like that. Well, great. Make one for me one day. But I can't. And I can't slice it like that. We need his instructions so that we know his vision to end up where he wants us to end up, to become who he wants us to be. That is why his plan has great priority and should rise to the top above our ideas or plans. Now, I know that all of us in this room, we have a desire. Something for ourselves, something for our family, something for our home, our car. But we must have God's plan as priority. Jeremiah 29:11, a lot of people know this verse. It's one of the verses a lot of people pull out of their pocket, you know, so to speak. But it says something very important, that God wants to give us a future and a hope. The future is with him. The hope, there's a blessed hope, Jesus Christ, and he's the only one, and he's the only way to get there, to be with God for all of eternity. The vision for this year was so difficult for me to grasp, and Shannon even mentioned it, because I was like, God, I don't want it to be a cliche, and I have this in my head of what I believe you're putting it on my mind, but I don't want it to become a gimmick. I don't want it to be something of man. I want it to be Holy Spirit directed, Holy Spirit driven, so that it would be Holy Spirit empowered when each and every single one of us has this vision of what God wants us to be. And this year, he wants us to be disciples. He wants us to disciple others. He wants us to grow in his word. He wants us to read his word so that as we share it, we are encouraging one another. Listen, some of you probably like that window, but my vision is that window is going to become a double door, and it's going to go into a hallway, and that hallway will go all the way down towards Kids Church, and there's going to be a gymnasium on the other end, and on the other side of this wall where there's a volleyball a net, that's going to be the sanctuary that'll seat over about 200 people. See, that's my vision. That's something that God's given me. I got to try to figure out how to put that in writing or put that in picture so that everybody begins to see that. That's something, and God probably has something like that for your family, a vision or something that you see, and pray, apply to it, apply prayer to it, apply your life to his word to work that out, which brings me to my third point. Know who to become with his word. We want to become who God wants us to become, and we do so by his word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Last slide, please. You see, the Holy Spirit empowers or enables us to manifest the vision. This is where the spiritual demonstrates into the physical. 1 Timothy chapter 18, verse 20. Paul says this to Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. There was something spiritual that happened before Paul read this, or before Paul wrote this. Something spiritual happened. They prayed over Timothy, and prophecy was made over Timothy. Prophecy is not of man. It should not be of man. It should be of God, that God is speaking on behalf of those being prayed to or those that are present. And so he says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Timothy has to do something with what he heard, with what was envisioned to him or given to him, and the prophecies that were made concerning him. He had to wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. See, there are people that will receive something that God is speaking to them. And if they don't wage war, they don't fight, they don't put it to prayer, they don't apply God's word to their lives, they will suffer shipwreck. And it's sad to say that if any of us in this room, or all of us in this room, we don't apply it to prayer, we don't receive what God has given us, we don't apply it to prayer, we don't apply it to our lives because we're following God's word, we will suffer shipwreck, which means we will not become who God wants us to be. We will not end up where God wants us to be. You see, it started with the spiritual. There was prayer and prophecy over Timothy. He received it. He responded accordingly to what God said. I mean, he had to have, because he was sent by Paul, and where he was helping the church grow. Then the spiritual impacted, or it was affected, then the physical, by Timothy walking out that prophecy. See, God's plans and visions are supposed to manifest. And it is his desire, and this is so cool, his desire for them to be manifested through his people. When God gave Abraham that covenant, took him outside, told him to look up into the heavens, see all the stars. When God made a covenant with Abraham, notice it was with Abraham, not Sarah. Notice it was with a man. It was with a person, a human being. I challenge you men, fathers, soon to be fathers. Be the warriors that God has called you to be. Be the leaders that God wants you to be. You can fail that by rejecting what he has for you. You can fail in that by refusing to apply it in prayer and walk according to his word to become the person that he wants you to be. You see, you can suffer also shipwreck. You can be shipwrecked and because you rejected what God wanted and had for you. See, God doesn't have to use us. Let me just say this as a warning. If he has used you, don't allow yourself to rise up and your head get so highly because God used you. He wants to use everybody. But he's looking for those who are available, who are teachable, and he'll use you if you humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. But praise God for using you when he does, and then continue to be used the next time that he has, or the next time that he has for you. Now, some of you, don't get down and out. Some of you, he hasn't used yet. Ask yourself, is it because you rejected or refused to be? Or is it just not his timing yet? So continue to apply his word, continue to be available and say, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You see, because God does desire to use us to reveal his son, that through Jesus Christ, reconciliation is available. God desires to use us to reveal his plan and his word, and that we would bring glory and honor to him. Right now, God is being glorified. How? How is that possible? We are together in worship unto him. During praise and worship, God was being glorified. Hopefully you weren't singing for us. Hopefully you weren't singing because of us. Hopefully you were singing to the audience of one. And here today, maybe some of you are here for the wrong reasons. Well, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and you repent and be and get right with the Lord. But maybe you are here for the right reason. You are a walking miracle, regardless. We're talking about this morning also about how people came to know Christ and our testimonies. Every single one of us, our testimonies are brilliant and great. Why? Because we are walking miracles. People who were once lost in sin, now found, made white as snow, servants of the Most High God, children of Almighty God. That is a miracle in itself. And so therefore, we are walking miracles. So if you're here for the right reasons, you are a walking miracle, being obedient to the Father, coming to his house to worship, and learn, and encourage one another. We are actually, Hebrews 10:25, we are not neglecting the gathering of one another in the faith. But so much more as we see the day approaching. Come to church more often. Praise the Lord. That's just a little advertisement there. So the Thessalonians, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1:3-5. This is my last verse. You see, the Thessalonian believers demonstrated this by remaining faithful to grow in their faith and to love one another. And this is so awesome. And I pray this for our church, okay, that the love of God and what God's wanting to do and his plan is being manifested through us, that the righteousness of God is being manifested through us. So it says in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all, everybody say all, every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Some of you are like, I don't want to go through that. It's important. It's good for us to endure some things. James even says, and he warns us, count it all joy. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. I found this quote from Bible for America website. What a glory to God, a marvel to man, and a shame to the devil. When people choose to receive Christ and allow him to grow in them, in us, and express himself through us throughout our lives. I'm going to read that again. What a glory to God, a marvel to man and a shame to the devil when people choose to receive Christ and allow Christ to grow in them and express Christ through them throughout their lives. This morning, I pray that you would respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. You find yourself without a vision, asking God, God, show me. God, the pastor has been talking about discipleship, and I don't understand that. What does that look like? Lord, teach me, show me. God, I'm going to start reading your word. And Lord, as I read your word, the tidbits of information that that you allow me to receive, I'm going to share that with someone, hoping that that'll encourage someone. And I'm going to apply that to my life. And maybe that's what discipleship looks like. Yes, that's what discipleship looks like, that we are students and pupils of the great master, and we're going to apply his word to our lives, and we're going to share it to other people. As we play this song, I just want to encourage you just to go before the Lord and say, God, what are you saying to me? I want to respond. I don't want to reject what you're saying. I want to respond. I want to apply it to my life.